Thank you. Good morning, church. Gosh, they were so cute, those little kids. Oh my goodness. All right, how are we doing this morning? We're good? Anyone else feel like we've officially entered into humid, hot summer here in Mackay? This is a time of year where I start to question, why do I live here again? And then I get lulled into false hope in winter. And then we hit summer, it's like, again, why am I here? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for aircon. That's right, he did. And I'm grateful for that. All right, this morning I felt on my heart from the Lord to share about apathy. And the title of my sermon is That You, Apathy? And so why don't we start by prayer? So let's close our eyes, just take a moment to acknowledge the Lord, his presence here. God, we thank you, God, that your presence is here, Lord, that you meet with us here, Father, that we can encounter you, God, that your presence is with us everywhere we go, Lord. And this morning, we ask that you speak to us, God. Give us a deeper revelation of your word and who you are, God. We want to know you on a deeper level, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to be real. In the lead up to preparing to speak, I kept feeling from the Lord apathy, knocking on my heart. And I got to the point where I was like, well, maybe I could preach about something else, like faith and hope and God's promises. And then just kept feeling God knock on my heart, apathy. And it was funny because this week when I was working on the sermon, I was like, God, I'd love if you could just put it on Pastor Rob's heart or Pastor Ben's heart to preach this sermon, not myself. And then I felt, what an apathetic thought for me to have, to want someone else to do what God's telling me to do. But why don't we go ahead and open our Bibles this morning to Galatians 5. If you've got your Bible with you, or perhaps you've got the Bible app on your phone, we'll turn there. And I'm reading from the NLT translation. You were running a good race, it says. You were obeying the truth. Who stopped you from following the true way? Who stopped you from following the true way? This scripture in Galatians tells us that there can be times in our life where we're running the race really well, and then something can interfere with that. Something can bring us off the course of running the race well for the Lord. And to be in an apathetic state means that we have a lack of interest or concern or enthusiasm. And spiritual apathy can look like we've got a lack of concern when we're not in the secret place, or perhaps we start to lose a desire to pick up our Bibles, or perhaps we feel weary when we're thinking about entering into worship and prayer. It can be spiritual apathy can look a little bit like that. And I want to say that this morning, this isn't a message to judge. This is a message, I believe, that the Lord wants to bring awareness to us that we can experience spiritual apathy and what that looks like and how that can happen, because he is so worthy of returning to an on-fire bride, ready for his return. And so this morning I want to unpack that a little bit about what apathy can look like and how we can fall into it and not be aware of it. Awesome. So we actually have started studying Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer in our young adults group. And this book is a brilliant book. He provides an invitation for all followers of Jesus, all believers of God, to take a step further in our walk and look at what it would look like to be an apprentice of Jesus. And the theme of the book is be with Jesus, become like him, and do as he did. And if we can pop the quote up from John Mark Comer, this is what he says in his book. He says, the first and most important goal of being an apprentice of Jesus, to be with him. to spend every waking moment aware of his presence and attentive to his voice, to cultivate a witness to Jesus as the baseline of your entire life. So important. To do as he did, we become like him from being with him. But before all this in the book, before he mentions that, he actually poses a question. It's the very first line in his book, and it says, "Who are you following? Who are you following?" And then he quotes, "Everybody is following somebody, or at least something. Put another way, we're all disciples. The question isn't, am I a disciple? The question is, it's who or what am I a disciple of?" And there's an important connection here with Galatians and what John Mark Comer asks, because at the end of Galatians 5:7, it says, Who stopped you from following the true way? Who? That's a question, who? And we know that Jesus is the way, that we're trying to follow the way, Jesus. And so who would hinder our walk in following Jesus? Who would be one that would be interfering? Another translation says, who has deceived you so that you have turned from what is right? So if we're all following someone and we're collectively trying to follow Jesus, who would be trying to deceive us away from that? Who do we think? Yeah, the devil, the enemy. If he wants to hinder our race with Jesus, if he wants to hinder our ability to follow Jesus, the way that I believe he does that, the sneakiest way he can do that is with apathy. And it can be hidden. He can hide it within fatigue. He can hide it within end of year flatness. That's a real thing. It's a real thing to experience end of year flatness. But I really believe that the sneakiest way that he can pull us from our race with God, where we were running well and then we aren't, is to bring us into a state of apathy, deceive us, distract us. I don't think we always recognize when we're in a state of apathy. I think sometimes it can be where we're blissfully unaware that apathy is operating. And it's so important to have this awareness, that so much so that Priscilla Shira, when she started her Armor of God series, the first thing she says before we can put on the armor of God is we actually have to size up the enemy. And she said, we have to do this because he's at work, and it would be careless for us to disregard the enemy operating for us as Christians. And she refers to Ephesians 6:12. I believe I have that, yeah. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And Ephesians 2 says that we are seated in heavenly places. And this scripture in Ephesians 6 says that there is wickedness and darkness in heavenly places. So we see that there is a coexisting situation with us and the enemy, with us and darkness, with Jesus, light, and enemy as darkness. And the question is, like, how do we use authority? Because we do have authority. We have authority in Jesus, right? Do we know that? We agree with that. We've got authority. It says he's given us authority. He says, you know, I've given you authority to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to set the oppressed free. So we have authority, but how do we know to use it if we're not aware that we actually have to use it? It's something that I felt God speak to me about. And it's the importance of first becoming aware that apathy can be operating for us to use it and to say, hey, actually, I need to use authority over this. And the first way, the first question that I feel we can ask ourselves when it comes to apathy is, am I being deceived? Who has deceived you? Is the translation of the Amplified. Who has deceived you? Who has deceived you? Why don't we turn to We'll keep going with Galatians 5:8. And the Amplified Translation says, "You were running the race well. Who has interfered and prevented you from obeying the truth? This deceptive persuasion is not from him who called you to freedom in Christ." Meaning God isn't part of the deception. Satan is, like we realized earlier. Like Priscilla Shira says, we must first size up the enemy before we can put on the armor of God. We must become aware of what's happening in the spiritual realm. So important. And to deceive is to make someone believe something that's not true, to feed lies. It's through trickery or a false impression. And the enemy, I believe, can feed us and bring us into an apathetic state by feeding us lies such as, do you really hear from God? Can you hear from God? Is that God? Can also be, nobody likes you. You don't fit in. What do you have to give to the kingdom? Do you really bring something to the table? Can be as far as the Bible is outdated. Live your own truth. You know, that was for 2,000 years ago. That was for so long ago. It's so outdated. Just live your own truth. It's like the enemy can really be feeding us lies about ourselves too. Do you really, really think that you're effective in the kingdom, that you have something to offer? Comparison can be part of that too. Look at Pastor Ben. Look at how he understands the word of God. You'll never be like that. When in actual fact, we each have a unique calling and potential in the kingdom. The enemy tries to rob us of that. We know that it says in 1 Peter 5 that the enemy prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour. I believe he looks at the body and he's like, who has their guard down? Who is weak? Who is tired? Who can I deceive? And if they're not tired, what tension can I stir up to make them weary and weak? And then I'll pounce with apathy. We know that psychologically, scientifically, when we're tired, when we're weary, when we're feeling weak, we're more likely to be irritable. We have difficulty focusing. Our prefrontal cortex is flooded and overwhelmed. And so we're not thinking logically. And so rarely are we doing what we should when we're feeling overwhelmed or emotional or tired or fatigued. And so I believe that's how the enemy can try and sneakily deceive us, is to hit us when we're down or when we're fatigued. And the second question that we can ask is, am I being distracted? Who has distracted us, or what has distracted us? And Paul in Romans 7:15 says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. And oh gosh, I love that scripture because I can so relate to that. I hate that I doom scroll when I'm tired or when I just feel like I need to switch off or have a break. You know, I'd really love to say that I pick up my Bible or I pray or I worship every time, but sometimes I'm distracted by my phone. And you know, it's not a surprise because our phone on average is notifying us 240 times a day. I looked it up. So I was like, man, I feel like my phone's getting my attention a lot lately. 240 times on average does our phone notify us. Does that not make you just want to throw your phone out? That made me feel sick. I'm like, man, I'm picking up my phone that many times. 240 times. I love the focus mode. I've been on that lately. But see, can I be vulnerable with you this morning? Is that okay if I'm vulnerable with you? I felt like such a fraud getting up here and speaking about apathy because, man, I have been experiencing it for myself. And that's me being honest. I was like, gosh, can I really get up and talk about this when I've been functioning in an apathetic state myself? You know, I've been experiencing the distraction. I know what I should do, but, you know, even on Friday night after youth, I got home about midnight by the time we had finished packing up, gone to the new Hungry Jack's because praise the Lord for some food after a night at youth. It's really not great for our cholesterol. I feel like our whole team should do a cholesterol check because it's, look, we did go to GYG a lot, but the new Hungry Jack's opened in Andergrove, so we were like, let's go, let's try it. And so by the time I got home, it was midnight. I had a shower because hashtag sweaty after youth. And I got in bed. I was like, oh man, I just want to scroll. I just want to scroll. So I did because I have a choice. And I scrolled and an hour went by and it was 1 a.m. Like, what am I doing? What am I doing? Put my phone down. I need to go to bed. It's 1 a.m. Turned the light off, rolled over, and I felt God say, get up and pray. And I was like, it's 1 a.m. He's like, yeah, well, you were scrolling for an hour. I could have told you at midnight. Get up and pray. And I was like wrestling, like rolled over. I'm like, oh, maybe that's just me. Because I scrolled for an hour, I'm feeling guilty. Get up and pray, get up and pray, pumping in my heart. And so I did, because I felt God say to me, are you going to practice what you preach? Are you going to get up and pray? Or are you going to fall into apathy? I know you're tired, but are you going to do it? It's like, oh yeah, maybe I'll feel better getting up on stage on Sunday morning if I get up and pray. And so I started praying. And can I just say, I had the most profound revelation from God at 1:30 in the morning. The most profound revelation I've ever had, to the point where I was praying in tongues and I got a syllable and I felt to look up the word that I was praying, and it actually referenced a prophetic word that Faelene gave me in 2018. I was like, what the heck is going on? And I woke up in the morning and I was just journaling all of the things that the Lord said to me. And I just saw, man, when he's prompting us to come to the secret place, he has something for us. And man, do we get blessed by that. And I just thought, man, I don't want to scroll anymore. I want to pray. I want to receive that. There's no judgment for scrolling, but that was just my experience. And, you know, several years ago, I was feeling incredibly weary, and God spoke to me about what was happening in my life, and he said this to me. He said, I'm not a God of a crumb for you and a loaf for another. You get the whole feast. You can eat and drink as much as you want. So why are you coming to my table and settling for a sip and a bite when I have a feast, a buffet for you? And I felt him speak to me and say, you don't need to do less with your time. You need to incorporate more time with Jesus, more time with me. Because there was a lot on my plate and I was considering, what do I need to take off? I need to do less. I felt God challenge me and say, you don't need to do less. You actually need more time with me. You're looking at removing when you need to add. And sometimes it's not about doing less, but it's about incorporating more time with Jesus in our race, to run the race well. So otherwise we can start to settle. We can start to settle for a crumb and a sip when he wants us to consume an entire feast in the secret place with him. There's a table prepared for us with our placeholder, our card on it, for us to come and consume and eat and drink as much as we want. And I feel like distraction is a tool of the enemy to shift our focus from the Lord to earth or even ourselves. I feel like selfishness for me is how I can see apathy starting to operate. I can get too caught up in how am I benefiting from this, or how am I receiving, rather than what am I offering unto the Lamb? How am I worshiping him? What can I do for him rather than what can I receive? What can be added to me? And the third thing that we can ask ourselves is my potential being destroyed? So who is deceiving me? Am I being deceived? Am I being distracted? Is my potential being destroyed? John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's our potential in God, I believe. Apathy robs us of our potential in God. I see that. I've experienced that. You know, I had a vision a couple of weeks at youth. We were praying for our region, and I just said, hey, let's just get in a group and let's pray for what we feel. And we did that, and I was like, man, I want to pray for the body as a nation in Australia, in our region as well, and our youth, but I want to pray for the body. And God gave me a vision, and there was people scattered everywhere. And Jesus was walking through the people, and I could see him because he's omnipresent, just with every single one of them. And let me tell you, it confronted me, and I got a check in my spirit for myself. I could see him communing with people at a table, laughing, drinking, eating. I could see him holding hands with those that were experiencing grief or struggling. I could see him healing. And then I could see him, there was someone on their phone, and I could see him waving at them, trying to get their attention. And I felt a check in my spirit. I was like, oh man, that's been me. And so I feel like as a body, and this isn't me saying, you're apathetic. This is. I feel the Lord saying, hey, there's an invitation right now for us to be aware of the enemy trying to operate in apathy and for us to operate in the opposite spirit, to not partner with it, because he is worthy of a burning bride when he returns. He is. He's worthy of us being completely on fire for the Lord. And that doesn't diminish life happening. That doesn't diminish challenges. That doesn't diminish loss and grief that we can go through. That's a real thing. I really feel that there's an invitation for us to operate this morning in the opposite spirit. And so there's a couple of scriptures, Proverbs 15, 19. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. Revelation 3, 15 to 16. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot or cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you were lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. We're warned against apathy in the Bible. And I believe that this scripture about being lukewarm relates to being ineffective for the kingdom. And apathy contributes to us being ineffective for the kingdom. If he can get us to focus on ourselves, the enemy can get us to focus on ourselves and not God, he's winning. If he can rob us of our potential in the kingdom, he's starting to win. But ultimately, God has victory over this, right? Like the name of Jesus, God has victory over the enemy. And that's how we can start to come out of apathetic state. I was doing some research this week, and I found that there are four root idols studies show that drive human behavior. And we'll pop them up on the screen. And this is related to apathy. We've got the four. They are power, control, comfort, and approval. And when we have power, they'll pop up soon. Probably like jumping all over the place with my slides. They're like, where are we going? Four root idols that drive human behavior. And the first one is power. That's a longing for influence or recognition. The second one is control, a longing to have everything go according to our plan. Comfort, a longing for pleasure. And the fourth thing is approval, a longing to be accepted or desired. And studies show that we can, as humans, can lean to one or two more than all of them. So for me, I feel like comfort and control are the two that I have to become aware of, that I can start to operate in a state of, oh, but that's outside my comfort zone, and comfort is good. Like, you know, I'm comfortable. I'm not taking risks. Control, a longing for everything to go according to our plan. It's like, tell me, Lord, when it's going to happen, or what can I do, or my way. Surely it should look like this way. And this is related to apathy, because when we can be functioning in an apathetic state, we can see each of these things are hit. So for power, we actually can, if we're not getting recognition, or if we're not being acknowledged for our skills or our gifts, we can start to go, oh, you know what? I'm not getting any recognition, so I just won't do it. For comfort, we can start to struggle to do anything outside of our comfort zone, because we're like, oh, comfort is my happy place. Like comfort is good. When in actual fact, following Jesus is an incredibly uncomfortable life. Do we agree with that? It's so uncomfortable, isn't it? And when, for me, with having comfort as something that I always like to go back to, when things are out of my comfort zone or they're not going the way I think they should, or I'm being stretched or challenged, I'm like, I don't want to go pray for that person in the grocery store. I just want to get my groceries and go outside of my comfort zone. But we are called to take risk in Jesus. For control, it can look like difficulty submitting or surrendering all parts of our life to God. It could be you can have these areas, but I'm going to hold on to this area unconsciously. It's just like, I'm not in control. I'm struggling. And for approval, it perhaps can look like we're looking to the approval of men rather than the Lord, rather than knowing our identity in God. And I love the scripture in Galatians that says, am I serving God or am I pleasing man? Because if I'm pleasing man, I wouldn't be a servant of God. And there is an element of dying to self. There is an element of, we're called to be kind to each other, right? But there's an element of we're pushed out of our comfort zone. We're not always pleasing man. You know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And I believe that the enemy can try and make us ineffective for the kingdom by these specific things at times if we lean to some. So I encourage you to have a think about what's the one or two that you sort of lean to, and is it an area where God's, you know, pulling you into that apathetic state? Like, no, that's out of your comfort zone. Don't pray for that person. Or you need control. Don't submit everything to the Lord. Or, you know, you need the man's approval. Do this, do this. It's like, hang on, we've shifted our focus away from heaven into the world. I believe that one of the lies that the enemy can say to us is the church is a failure. The church is a failure. You know, it's not increasing, or if it is, it's doing all of these things wrong. You know, it's, look at what's happening in the world. The church is failing because there's still all of this darkness in the world. But in actual fact, the truth is that the church is highly effective. It is highly effective. I love the scripture where Jesus says to Peter, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it, and I will give you the keys. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I just love that. The church is effective because God has all power, all honor, all glory. He's in control. He is moving. And the enemy wants us to be deceived and think we're not doing anything. The church is ineffective. It's dying out. Why be part of it? Why be part of the body? When, oh my goodness, we see there's such a move of the Spirit right now. But the enemy can distract us to something else, deceive us, plant these things in our mind, rob us of our potential to be effective in the kingdom. We are all the body, and that's something I felt impressed on my heart. We are all the body, and we are all called to be members of it. We all have a unique gift and calling from Holy Spirit, from God, to be part of the body. And we need all the members, right? I feel like I see that every single day when we come into this church and we see all the different teams that are operating. On a Friday night at youth, I think, gosh, if I was here by myself, I'd probably have no hair because I would have pulled it out. And no one wants to look at that. You know, no one wants to look at them. I get stressed. I'd be very stressed. I'm so grateful for the team that have said, I'm going to serve you, Lord. I'm going to serve the kingdom. I love that. We have an amazing church here. We have an amazing body. You are amazing. You all have skills and gifts, as do I, as does Pastor Rob and Denise. We have amazing senior pastors. Can I just say that I've never, ever seen Pastor Rob operate in apathy? I've been coming to this church in 2017, and look, you know, everyone gets weary. Everyone starts to lose passion and get tired. But, you know, Pastor Rob walks the goose ponds most days. And Nikita and I will sometimes go, because when I'm feeling apathetic after work, I'm like, I don't want to go for walks. And I'm like, Nikita, will you come with me? Because then that will force me to go. And we often will see Pastor Rob walking around the goose ponds. And one day we were like, oh man, like, how cool would it be if we could keep up with his pace? We could not. We could not. We were like, where is he? Where's he gone? This man has a pace for the Lord. He is running the race for God. You know, it was so funny. I've never seen Pastor Rob operate in apathy. And I just love that. I love that he is so passionate for the kingdom. And that trickles down. But to be honest, I've had to take to the Lord this year. Man, I don't feel passionate. I don't feel like I've got zeal. I feel tired, Lord. I feel tired about going in on a Friday night. You know what? He can handle it. He can totally handle it. And when I'm honest with God, that's when I feel like I'm like, hey, now I can move. Now I can fill you. Now I can strengthen you because it's by my power and by my strength, not yours. And even over the weekend, I was like, oh man, like I'm feeling pretty tired, pretty apathetic. And this morning, as I was reading my Bible about this, I just felt such a zeal start to bubble up in me again. And even in praise and worship, like, have you ever come to church and you're like, you know what, the last thing I want to do is praise and worship. It's been a rough week, I'm tired. You know, I felt the Lord snap me out of it. Just like, number one, I'm worthy of your worship. It is an offering, it is a sacrifice. It's not going to be easy, it's not going to be comfortable. But also, hey, I'm going to increase your zeal and passion. I can see what's operating. God desires for every single one of us to passionately and zealously be in a relationship with him. Like John Mark Comer said, be with Jesus first. Then we become like him. Then we can do as he did. The enemy wants to rob us of our time in the secret place. He wants to lull us into apathy. If he can get us not picking up our Bibles, not praying, not worshiping, he's winning. In some extent, because then that can trickle down to not being effective in the kingdom. And there's grace for the times that we don't. 100%, he is a God of grace. He is. He loves us the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. If we didn't pick our Bibles up tomorrow, he still loves us. But gosh, for me, I'm like, I want passion for the kingdom. I want zeal. I want the body to be absolutely on fire for the Lord, to continue in being effective for the kingdom, to operate in the opposite. And you know what, might be wondering, why talk about apathy? Why talk about it, but how can we overcome it? And I believe, like I said, we first must see it operating, become aware of it operating. We can ask ourselves, is that you, apathy? I love just Dawna De Silva, that she shifts atmospheres. And that's a tool and something that she's felt wisdom from Holy Spirit to do. When she walks into a room or she walks into a church or she's starting to feel anxious or lethargic, she'll start to reflect, is this me or is this an atmosphere that's affecting me? And she'll do that, she'll discern. And then what she does from there is she'll shift the atmosphere. So she'll name it and she'll label it and she'll say, I see you, apathy, and I'm not going to partner with you. Because ultimately, God is victorious over it. This Bible, this word is a tool that we can use. And honestly, we've had guest speakers come into Australia and then into Queensland, travel across the nation. And some of them have said to us, I really have sensed coming from overseas into the nation that the bride is passionate and burning. However, there's a spirit of apathy that can operate. And if we're not careful, we can become too relaxed. What I love is that the guest speakers have seen this church as a spot fire of God's presence, of his spirit, of a burning body. And I just love that. I love that we're part of that, that we're passionate, we're zealous. But it is something for us to be careful with, to be aware of being deceived, distracted, and our potential being destroyed through apathy from the enemy. And I want to turn to Luke 12, 35. It's not going to be on the screen. And we'll finish up very soon. Luke 12, 35. It says, be ready for the Lord's coming. Be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning as though you were waiting for your master return from the wedding feast. Then you'll be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, He himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready." I want to be ready. I desire that the body would be ready, that the bride would be ready for the bridegroom's return. I want you to put your hand up if you're in a relationship or if you're married. This isn't so the singles can have a look around. But when in Rome, if you want to, you can have a look. I can see a few, like, I should have brought binoculars today. I say, are you in a relationship or married for the reason that I want you to think in your relationship, in your marriage, how do you maintain closeness and connection? What is the effort that takes for that? How do you connect? How do you connect? What helps keep intimacy, closeness, connection a real, you know what I mean? I'm not married, but connection, solid connection. Think about the days and the weeks if you went without it. Love languages, right? We know that Gary Chapman just like cracked open this amazing thing with love languages about how we give and receive love. And what we have to do in a relationship and in a marriage to maintain intimacy and connection, the effort that we have to put in, the time together, the serving, the gifts. If we didn't do that in relationships and marriages, I believe that they would start to be disconnected. Apathy would start to come in. And a close friend up north was opening up to me about her marriage, and she was saying, you know, I love my husband so much. I need to remember that there are seasons in marriage. There are seasons where I have to work really hard to maintain that intimacy, that connection, that closeness. Or there's seasons where it just comes naturally. There's just such a closeness, such a joy. It's just like marriage has seasons, very much seasons. Some are really easy, we're just close, and then some... It's like, oh, okay, I actually have to work at this to maintain the connection. And I walked away from that conversation. I was listening and I'm like, man, there's something in this. And I walked away and I felt the Lord say, Claire, our marriage, no different. There are seasons of closeness that are easy where, you know, you feel my presence and we're close. And there's not a whole lot of effort. Yes, we have to maintain communication and quality time, but other seasons you have to work for it. It might feel harder, it might feel more effort. Because after all, the Bible is full of references of, you know, the analogy of marriage, of Jesus to the church, of Jesus to us. It's a marriage that we're in with him. And it takes effort, it takes communication, it takes quality time. I feel that. And so when we're starting to feel like apathy is in the atmosphere, or we're reflecting and we're like, man, I actually have lost a little bit of my zeal or passion for God. And there's no shame in that. Gosh, I've been vulnerable and said I have. I'm sure Pastor Rob has at times. Yeah, he's walking around the goose ponds really fast, high paced. He's bringing that passion, but I'm sure behind closed doors, he's felt weary and he's had to bring that to the Lord. It can be a normal part of our walk with God. However, I believe becoming aware of what the enemy's trying to do will really assist with operating in the opposite spirit. And soon we're going to worship together. And I want you to hear my heart that this hasn't been a message of I'm judging you because you're not picking up your Bible. It's the complete opposite. There's grace for that. But I feel there's an invitation from God this morning to step into more passion for those that may have felt like they've lost their spark, or they've been struggling, or there's been a barrier or a wall up where we're just not connecting, we're feeling like there's no connection with God, or we've fallen into the deceptive lies that the enemy can tell us. And so this morning, would you stand with me before we come into a time of worship? Yes, it's important that we understand that the enemy can be trying to deceive and distract, steal our potential. But there's a time where we fix our gaze too much on ourselves and we need to turn it back to the Lord. If He can get us navel gazing too much, that can also lead us into apathy. Because ultimately, it's not about what can I receive from God. It's about being in a close relationship with Him, a connection, a marriage. But ultimately, I believe it's what has He put us on this earth in this time for? How can we serve unto the Lamb? How can we, what can we offer in worship, sacrifice? We have a purpose and a plan, right, in Him. And maybe there's some of you that have felt, man, I've been going through a tough time. Life happens, there's challenging things that we can experience, grief, loss, tension, struggles, financial problems, sickness. And with every eye closed, why don't we just take a time to reflect on where we're at? Have we been struggling to continue a relationship with God? Have we been feeling like, man, I've just lost my desire? Hey, no shame. Maybe feeling like, oh man, I just don't understand the word. Oh, I feel like I don't hear from God. I'm just really, really struggling. Maybe the enemy has really been operating in your life. Apathy. Apathy. Maybe you feel like you've lost your spark. Maybe you've just had sickness after sickness and you're like, man, this has just really impacted my relationship with God. Just feel like I've been hit. Or maybe you're like, you know what? I feel like I have been a little bit L-A-Z-Y with my time with God or in the kingdom. It's also okay. With every eye closed, there's an invitation here this morning to say, you know what? I'm struggling and I want to experience your presence, Lord. I want to be passionate and zealous for you, Lord. I know I've got a calling. I know I've got a purpose. I want to be effective in your kingdom, Lord. If that's you this morning, I would love to pray for you. So with every eye closed, would you raise your hand in this place if you're like, hey, you know what? That's me. I'm struggling. I feel like I can't hear God's voice. I feel like I'm just hitting a wall. I want apathy to break off my life. I want to step forward and be like, I want to be zealous for you. I want to be passionate. I want to be running the race so well that no one interferes and no one hinders. And I'm like, yes, I'm in, Lord. I'm in. You say go, I go. You say stay, I stay. You say rest, I rest. Jesus didn't avoid conflict, working hard. He avoided apathy. I want to be like running the race like Jesus, stopping and being interrupted to heal someone, but ultimately seeking solitude, preaching the gospel, healing the sick. Hands going up everywhere. Gosh, there's such grace for this. I feel like the Lord's like, ah, oh, I want to move. I want to, where the fire has gone dim, I want to ignite that flame again for me. Because I am coming back for a zealous bride, those that are ready. And I want to break apathy because I have victory over the enemy. He doesn't have victory over me. The Lord has victory over the enemy. So with every hand raised, Lord, I thank you right now that you see the needs, God. You see the ones that have felt like the flame has gone dim, that it needs to be ignited. I thank you, Lord, right now that is being ignited, God. Breaking apathy. I break apathy in the name of Jesus, Lord. We declare life, an abundant life. We declare your truth, Lord. We declare your passion, your zeal, the anointing to come upon. Our gaze transfixed on heaven, not on earth. That we would be a burning bride that you are worthy for, Lord. I thank you that those that need healing will receive that. Those that are struggling, Lord, you would bring those walls down. You would bring them down, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Right now, I see just like zeal, passion bubbling up into overflow. As we raise our hands, as we enter in, as we accept the invitation, those that are weary, that have felt like it's been out of their control, I just see weariness coming off. in the name of Jesus. Passion, energy, strength from heaven coming down. And as we sing this song, let's operate in the opposite spirit. Let's choose to operate in the opposite spirit against apathy. And so the altar is open, and if you want to come and say, you know what, I need to step forward. I need to do something physical to get out of this funk, or to get my spark back, or to start to be passionate for the Lord again. This is open that you can come and worship and come and praise. We're going to enter in and lift the name of Jesus on high. The blood of Christ covers us, heals us, restores us, ultimately has power. Thank you, Jesus.